As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lamar takes a snap. Blitz pressure coming. Jackson fires. End zone. Touchdown! Mark Andrews!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Justice Hill goes 51 yards!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Prime Video's TNF analyst, Ryan Fitzpatrick. From Prime Video's It's in the Game, Madden NFL, Mike Madden. Coming up, author of the Basketball 100, David Aldridge. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're going to talk some hoops with DA, David Aldridge, whose new book, The Basketball 100, is out right now, wherever you get your books. And this is a very substantial one. You can call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've already done Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. The Overreaction Monday pod is up there for everybody to check out on our YouTube channel, as well as everywhere else that you can hang out and check out your podcasts. I'll be doing What the Football with Susie and Amy. Nice little Thanksgiving roll in for me into their pod.
Nice.
Tomorrow, Bianca Belair is the guest of No Contest Wrestling, correct? TJ Jefferson?
EST. This makes WWE.
This makes you very excited, I imagine.
Should make everybody excited.
Yeah. Fantastic. That'll be on Wednesday. Jim Jackson's show is also coming out this week with part two of his conversation with Dee Nice. That's in all spots where you can get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. So, hey, everybody, the Dallas Cowboys won a football game this weekend. And I will say this about your Dallas Cowboys. I was ready to pack it in on them. Mm-hmm. On behalf of everybody else in the United States of America who likes to troll on your Cowboys, I just didn't see any there. And I saw them going into Washington, and I saw them being shorthanded, and I saw them being beaten.
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Well, I appreciate that. and they came out with the win. And so how is Jerry Jones feeling today? As we all know, he's looking for a storybook ending to the all-in season that does appear to be all out.
Not yet.
And not yet.
Not yet.
Right?
Not yet.
It's kind of like that. That's the which one was it? Was it Holy Grail or Meaning of Life?
You're looking at Chris. He's had no idea.
No.
Holy Grail
was not quite dead. You know, yes, I'm not dead yet. Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead.
And then somebody would throw the cart and not like, I'm not dead yet. Oh. You know, Cowboys are the not dead yet guys.
Yes. Chris, he was looking at me. Nope. He had no idea.
I'm just speaking truth over here. That's all.
Well, you know, I'm just saying here. You know, I'm listening to you last segment going on about how you're just emotionally unattached and you're numb. And then when I tried that a few weeks ago, it was just like, no, you're not really.
Because you weren't. I'm being honest. I'm numb. I'm numb to it.
I can be numb and watch this team. Like, okay. I got a little hyped on Sunday.
But you should, because Cooper Rush can throw the football.
But here's the deal. Honestly, I feel like we should beat Washington. No, if we win two games every year, I think that those two games should be against Washington. That's just how it's a deep rooted dislike. Yeah.
I respect that.
I think TJ Jefferson wants balloons and flowers from Kevin Durant. You know? You want him, you're just trying to get, you want him from, you know, different, you want him from different.
Rich, I had an out.
I don't know.
Okay. I had an out. I had a different contract that I tore up. I just taped it back together. Just because this got hanging.
What does it say? What does it say?
Oh, it just says, TJ, if you leave the Dallas Cowboys, you can't come back until the 2030 season. And
that, wow, 5 year out.
That
five
was dictated, out. Not read. You know, okay.
And it's not. And Jay Felly did not notarize.
No, not yet.
But he could if he because he's an official notary.
I tore it up. I tore it up and then I taped it back together.
Not really.
You know? Well, let's see. Like let's see what you make with this information.
But after I hear this, I might want to tape.
Well, because
we just have this my official signing
quill
ready. Because after what I hear in this. I know Jerry's going to say something to make me mad. Just
well, Jerry appeared on his weekly Tuesday spot on 105.3 The Fan. I guess when he ripped up the contracts of these two gents who interview him, they taped it back together because he's still they're all still there. They're all still there.
Like I said, whatever he says is going to determine whether I sign.
Well, he was asked if it's crazy to think about giving Mike McCarthy a new contract, and here was his answer.
Well, I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And listen, Mike McCarthy is an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly, this Super Bowl winning coach. And Mike McCarthy has been there, done that. He's got great ideas. So bottom line is that in no place in my body language or anything else have you seen indications about what we're going to be doing relative to this staff at the end of this year. And we shouldn't.
So good news if Jerry's listening to Troy Aikman sing some praises of Mike McCarthy. Bad news is, you know, Troy Aikman, if he's listening to Troy, was very critical of the route concepts a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question, though. The finger of blame.
Oh, finger of blame.
The dreaded finger of blame. We're popping it out. Okay, the dreaded finger of blame that frequently gets brought out every year in the Metroplex. You pointed at who for this year's 4-7? Pointed at who?
I mean, you got to start at the top, right?
Yes, you do. That's my point.
The guy who,
this is my point.
Who can't pass up a chance to stop and talk into one of these and say something all the time, which brings all this negative press onto the franchise.
Well, the lack of reinforcements from March through training camp. The drawn-out process of having somebody put a quill pen in the hands of two of the most important employees that we all knew needed to be extended and would. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff. Do you think McCarthy would have liked those guys signed sooner? Do you think he would like Derrick Henry in the backfield? Do you think he would like
Saquon Barkley in the backfield or Joe Mixon in the backfield? We did nothing to get better. All of our rivals, they did something. They added a piece here, a piece there to get better. How do the Eagles constantly get better and we just kind of stand pat, it seems like? It doesn't make sense to me.
The question is Jerry's going to have to, the finger of blame, he's
so
going to have to put
him.
Well, he's going to have to put a similar digit into the figurative Metroplex air and test the temperature of folks like yourself.
Well, we're going to start putting digits in the air and, you know, not the index or pinky or the ring or the thumb. It's the one you put up when you, I can't say the rest of them because it's M&M.
But you do have to also give it up if you're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. And this man is what you saw from your suite inside FedEx Field or whatever they're calling it now. You got to like what you see. I mean, in all seriousness, that if he didn't have the respect and he didn't have the belief, they won a football game on the road that nobody thought they could. They got it done. First three quarters, they were all over Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, Micah played. He came.
So what
ball.
I'm saying to you is, you would be upset if they re-signed Mike McCarthy. you would want him to go out and get somebody completely new.
No,
or Vrabel. You'd want somebody you want a Vrabel guy.
Necessarily. If we upgrade our roster and we went and got some of these players, you know, my constant argument is I don't know how Derrick Henry would have ran behind this line. You know why I keep saying that? Because I have no other line of defense, Rich. I don't have anything else to say. So I got to point at that and go, I don't know if this would work. So if we upgraded the roster, if we added some pieces, McCarthy does have a tremendous record as a coach of the Cowboys.
I wouldn't put it out of the realm. Obviously, McCarthy's coaching for his job over the next few weeks.
For sure. But it's hard when your quarterback tears the hamstring off the bone, and we weren't playing well with him, and now we have a career backup in there.
Correct.
It's harder.
The pros and the cons, you write them down. The pros is, yes, he did. He has won before. Yes, mm-hmm. He is a guy who's got a certain style about him that when you win, it's great. He also is good with the press. He's a professional. He's a play caller as well.
Yeah.
The cons are his concepts aren't very newfangled.
Yeah.
The other thing that you bring up,
time management is always
right. The other thing you can bring up as well is that if you let him go, would somebody pick him up?
Mm-hmm. Like you have your Mike Tomlin theory. Well, Mike Tomlin gets fired at 11:10. He'd be hired by 11:20.
He's coaching for his contracts. Job. He's coaching for his job.
Would Mike McCarthy get another gig next year? That's interesting.
As a head coach? I don't think so.
No, that would. Yeah.
But you want to bring him on for your offensive staff? Absolutely.
I think, it would probably behoove him to take a year off and see what next year shakes out. But
why would he have to do that? But is he going to go in the media? Not like he can't. He's not like Belichick.
No, but.
But he's coaching for his job.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this thing before David Aldridge joins us here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I have some interesting statistics here. In the National Football League, every NFL team, only one team with 10 or more wins has not made the playoffs since expansion to 7 teams per conference in 2020. How about that? And there has been a wild card team with 9 or fewer wins in 6 of the 8 playoff pools between the two conferences since expansion in 2020. There's that information for you. And the reason why I'm setting all this up for you right now is since the playoffs expanded to 7 teams in each conference this decade, 76.8% of teams that were in playoff positions entering Thanksgiving made the playoffs. I'll repeat that. Since we expanded to 7 playoff teams per conference at the start of this decade, 76.8% of teams that were in a playoff position entering Thanksgiving made it.
Ooh.
So one quarter of the teams currently in their position
don't
or will not.
Mm. Wow.
Which leads us to ask the question, in the National Football Conference, we talking playoffs or what?
Oh, yeah.
For certain teams. Mike Del Tufo, do you have it?
No, we got it.
It's a don't. Put.
Playoffs?
We talking playoffs or what?
We'll talk about playoffs.
Talking playoffs or what?
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Wow, what a drop. What a everything. That's well done.
By the way, that guy was one and done. He never called back.
He's some dude from Long Island, right? Yeah, who called about the Giants one year when the Giants, no one was talking about playoffs, and we're saying we're or what?
Yeah, never called back.
So you're going to give us, you're going to give me 7 NFC teams?
Yes. We're going to run down the NFC, Rich, and we're going to do playoffs or what? Are you ready?
I am.
Where do you want to start, Mike Hoskins? You want to go at the top or you want to do it at the bottom? What do you think? Let's go at the top. Let's go with your current 3 seed.
Yes.
Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. And again, we believe the Eagles and the Lions are making it.
Yes.
And we believe the Vikings at 9 wins and the Packers at 8 wins are making it.
Yes.
So it's whoever makes it out of the West and the South, and then that's that 7th current seeded playoff spot held by the Commanders.
Correct. So we're looking at 7 teams we're going to talk about for 3 spots.
All right. So you're starting with the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
I think I looked, and again, I knew all these 7 teams in advance. I think the Seahawks go 3-3 to finish and finish up 9-8, and that will not be good enough to make the playoffs. So in terms of the Seattle Seahawks, I say or what? They've been a little too inconsistent for my liking, and I know they just came up with two big-time Ws in division, one in San Francisco, one at home against Arizona, which came in as the division leader, and they are no longer. They're just too damn inconsistent. So I'm going to go
Seahawks
or what?
Out. Okay.
I'm going or what? I think they finish 3-3 the rest of the way.
All right, let's go to the other division leader here we're talking about, your current four seed, Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons, I believe, will lose their next two games. I believe they will lose at home to the Los Angeles Chargers, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to lose his homecoming in Minnesota. And that's when they're going to start winning in a row. I say they win at Vegas. I say they beat the Giants at home. I think Kirk Cousins wins his reunion game in Washington. He's going to be the you like that guy. And I think he finishes with a win at home against Carolina. I think they're 10-7, and I think they win their division, and I think they make the playoffs. The Falcons are a playoffs, not an or what.
So a four-game losing streak and then a four-game winning streak.
I do believe that's what's going to happen.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's my prediction for the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. All right, let's keep it moving. Your current seven seed, runners-up currently in the NFC East, your Washington Commanders.
Okay. The Washington Commanders, I do believe, bounce back with a win against Tennessee and then off their bye week. I think Jaden Daniels goes back into Louisiana and beats New Orleans. But then I think they lose two in a row against Philadelphia and Atlanta, and then even a win against Dallas that they need. They will be 10-7, and I will hold in abeyance whether they are in or out, and I will leave that up to when you finish a couple of other matters.
Oh, what?
I will leave you dangling right here on the Washington Commanders about whether they make the playoffs or what. Chris Brockman.
All right. First team on the outside looking in.
But I say they finish 10-7. They're currently 7-5.
10-7.
I think they finish 4-1. They finish, the Washington Commanders finish 3-2.
Yeah, they have a week 14 bye.
And they finish 10-7.
Okay, let's go next. The Arizona Cardinals.
I think the Cardinals have a very tough game at Minnesota this week, and then they win their next three. I think they beat Seattle at home. I think they beat New England at home. And I think they do, in fact, go on the road and beat Carolina. And I think, though, they lose their final two, if I had to guess. I might be wrong on the way that it goes, but I think they finish 3-3 to go 9-8, and they are, or what, Chris?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Again, this right is not, now, I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm just right now.
All right, so we've done four so far. You have one in. One we're waiting on, like a TBD in Washington. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go right now. Winners from last week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Aha, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're currently, what's their record right now?
5-6.
They're 5-6. Okay. I think they go 5-1 down the stretch with their only loss.
5-1.
Yes, their only loss coming out here against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they beat Carolina and Carolina, Vegas at home. I think they come out here and lose a tough one and then finish out the rest with W's. I think they're 10-7, and they take their week one win over the Washington Commanders out of their back pocket, throw it on the table. They are playoffs, and the Commanders are or what?
Oh, wow.
And two make it out of the South, meaning only one makes it out of the West. Chris Brockman.
Wow. All right, we have two West teams.
Go San Francisco
remaining.
Next, please.
Oh, I will go San Francisco next because you ask.
Yes, sir.
Your current 11 seed in the
I
NFC, the 5-6
the
49ers.
San Francisco 49ers. You know how I feel about their coach and their general manager and their quarterback and their tight end. I think the San Francisco 49ers go 3-3 down the stretch, unfortunately. I don't think they're going to be able to be healthy enough to make a run. I think they wind up losing against Detroit at home. I think they lose at Buffalo this week. And I think they wind up losing to the Rams on a Thursday night. And I think they go 3-3. They're 8-9. And they are one of only four teams in the last 11 years to not make the playoffs after losing the Super Bowl the year before. They are or what? Wow. Meaning the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to do it. I think the Rams win this week. I think the Rams win this week at New Orleans. I think they lose at home against Buffalo, and I think they win out.
Win out.
I think they win out. I think they win out. Starting with a big win in San Francisco, they take care of the Jets in New York, and they win both games against divisional rivals at home. They are 10-7. They win the West, and they're the team that you don't want to face in the playoffs. Woo. They make the playoffs. I think they win the West. And I can't believe I'm saying that coming off of what I just saw against the Eagles. But you know how I feel. I'm concerned about their O-line.
Yep.
They could put pressure on the quarterback, and if they do that, the back end can survive. So the Rams win the West, and two teams make it out of the South. Those are the playoffs, and the rest are or what?
So the Bucs are your 7th seed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
With the Falcons winning the division and the Rams winning the West.
Baker visiting the Eagles to start the playoffs. You want to sign for it or what? Because you know Baker eliminated the Eagles last year.
Or what if it flips and we get Baker in Detroit? Remember last year they almost beat them.
That's correct.
And did beat them this year.
I think Baker and the Bucks are going to make it.
We can go home now.
We'll see if I'm right or wrong. I'm leaving my finger on the chess piece on every last damn thing I just called.
You have to, right? Yeah.
We'll do the AFC tomorrow. Game time tickets. As you know, we love going to football games live. I was there last night for Westwood One. What an incredible scene it was last two nights in Los Angeles football and college football around the corner. You know, we're going to see a big-time college football game coming up here this weekend in Los Angeles. Game Time is the perfect app for you to go and start buying tickets. The minute you want to start buying tickets, the Game Time Picks curation makes it easier to save on sports, concerts, comedy, theater. The all-in pricing feature shows you your total up front, no surprise fees at checkout, and then your purchase is only covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. The guesswork's totally removed when you buy tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. It's also time to throw it a break. I see David Aldridge is zooming in. We've got his new book right here, The Basketball 100. We'll talk with DA when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. There's a reason why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Because in the NFL, there's no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, and science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Imagine what it can do for you. I know about it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers of difference, but it really does make the difference. We can adjust our side of the bed the way that we want and get the perfect quality sleep that we need to be more ourselves in work, around the kids. It's awesome. Get ready and get yourself to a Sleep Number store. If you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store, and why not? It's awesome. Again, it is a reason why it's the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Take it from me. You'll love Sleep Number. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
All right, back here on the program. David Aldridge will join us as soon as the radio audience returns in less than 2 minutes' time. I'm just reading some other quotes from Rodgers on Pat's show. Quote, I will not willingly go on IR without an injury, he said. When it comes to scans, first of all, I've played 20 years. I know my body better than anybody. Second of all, I got a great relationship with the training staff. Great conversations where they diagnosed what I was dealing with. I told them how I was feeling. We talked about the possibilities of playing and rehabbing, what it would take. There was no mandate ever of you got to get this scan. And I was like, I ain't effing getting the scan. It was, how do you feel? I told him, I know my body well. What do you see in your diagnosis? What are the risks of playing? And that was that. There wasn't any weirdness around that. MRIs are used a lot of times to figure out what's going on if you're not quite sure when it comes to especially the hamstring. I don't know what else they were talking about. I met with the guys. I let them do an examination. I told them what I was feeling, and we had great communication about the whole organization. Calls his relationship with Woody Johnson good. I have a lot of gratitude for all the Johnsons for bringing me in. That sounds like Blazing Saddles, right? Oh, all the Johnsons?
All the Johnsons.
Right? Remember that? Yeah. Howard Johnson is right.
Yes.
Remember that from Blazing Saddles?
All the Johnsons.
Also, Howard Johnson is right.
Also Die Hard.
All right. All right.
Johnson and Johnson. No relation.
Yeah. Some good conversations over the last 2 years.
Johnson. No relation.
He called Joe Douglas an effing man. He's a damn good general manager. I really enjoyed our conversations. I'm disappointed because I had a hand in it. I also feel bad about that. He's a great human. He's a great dude. All right. So that's the there's your update right there. Okay. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show television show here on Roku. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look who stopped by. Pardon me for being a little late. But he's joining us right now. The Basketball 100, the story of the greatest players in NBA history, is available today wherever you get your books. It is David Aldridge, the author of the Basketball 100, Hall of Famer and a longtime colleague back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, D.A.?
Rich, I am doing good. Thank you for having me.
What's this book about that you'd like people to know, David?
Well, it's co-written. I'm a co-author with John Hollinger, who invented Purr. You know John.
Yep.
And the staff, the NBA staff at The Athletic, and our great editor, Rob Peterson. I mean, everybody had a hand in this. Our names are on the front of it, but it was a group project, to be sure. It's about who we think the best 100 players ever played in the NBA are, which is designed by its definition to be, not...
argument driven. Just say
it. I know people will disagree.
Yes.
I know people will disagree.
I know. Okay. I know, David. You're from that era of like, let's not scream at each other. Let's not yell at each other. We can have conversations. But this is definitely an argument starter. Do you list it from 1 to 100, or it's just it's just 100? Once you're in, you're in. You're not.
Oh no, it's listed from 100 to 1. We wanted to have a little bit of suspense in it when you buy the book. So you start with 100, you work your way down to 1. Or work your way up to 1, I guess it would be.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, we know people are going to disagree, and that's okay because nobody has a font on wisdom, and everybody has their right to their opinion. We happen to think our opinion is the correct one.
Well, I mean,
based on
naming Michael,
our years of experience,
naming Michael Oluwakandi number 1 overall is really provocative.
We had a lot of debate about that. Rich. Really, I mean, it was tough.
Oh, wait a minute! It's different.
At the end of the day, you got to go with your gut. You
different know? Michael. My bad. Do you want to get into that? Or do you want people to buy it to get into that?
I mean, there's no secrets. I mean, I don't think we're not. I don't. We're not being coy about who number 1 is. I mean, it's Michael Jordan.
Go ahead and deliver why. Obviously there's LeBron too, and that's been the conversation.
Sure.
I mean, that is,
sure.
In shows like this one, certainly during basketball season when there's a lull, that's an easy way to light up a phone line.
Sure.
But I give you the phone line, if you will, conversation. I give you the floor here on why Jordan over LeBron. David.
Right. Well, I always say this when people have asked me about this over the years. LeBron's got a case, right? Like, it's not like he doesn't have a case. He's got a case. It's a good case. It's a really good case with his longevity. Being great in year 22 is insane. That just doesn't make any sense. Still being this good, the championships, the MVPs, all of that, but and the, you know, the scoring record, all of that. It's a legitimate, real case. Kareem's got a real legitimate case, right? With his history of winning, nobody's won more MVPs in the NBA than Kareem. He won six titles, six MVPs. He scored 38,000 points, a record that stood for almost 40 years with essentially one move. And that's what is amazing to me about Kareem is that, yeah, I know he had some putbacks and dunks and he made one three-pointer in his career, but basically, Rich, he had one move and everybody knew what the move was and nobody could stop. So that, to me, that's an amazing case to make for greatness and affecting winning. The reason why I think Jordan's number one, you know, in having seen all of these guys play, Michael Jordan's got the greatest will of any professional athlete I've ever seen. Never seen anybody who was as driven as he was, not to just win, but to dominate. He sent everybody home. Isaiah and the Pistons got him early, but after the Bulls broke through, nobody beat him ever, you know? So didn't need a seventh game for an NBA final in an NBA finals, won all six titles in six games or less. Dominated at every level, was a great defensive player earlier in his career, was still a really good defensive player late in his career. And is the greatest scorer that I've ever seen, you know, could score from anywhere against anybody at any time. I just think the totality of his impact on the game, his impact socially, his impact globally, all of it just leads to the same conclusion. He's the best. He's the best ever. Bill Russell's got an argument. He's got 11 of them. Michael only had six. So that's an argument, right? That's a legitimate argument. And Bill Russell's in our top five, but he's not. Somebody's got to be one. We had to pick one, and it was Michael.
That's who I would choose too, David. And I am watching LeBron now, and I am marveling. And there's reason to marvel. There's reason to marvel, and there's reason to talk about him as the greatest of all time. There's numbers to support it. There is a cultural impact as well, if you want to use that as a metric, as you did for Jordan. And, you know, Jordan kind of paved the way for LeBron's success in that regard as well. But I've never seen anybody rip their hearts out and show it to them pumping and be glad to do it and to brag about it to anybody and then woof at anybody that would have an issue with any of it. I've never seen anything like it. We will never see it. Kobe's the only one that approached
close.
That.
Close,
that,
yes.
That regard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it. It was Tiger-esque in a certain way that if you were born at the wrong time, you were not winning because Michael Jordan was born at the same time. That's basically it, David.
Yeah, Rich, what I've said this all over the years many times, if Michael Jordan were 5'6 instead of 6'6, he'd be the greatest serial killer in the history of serial killers. Because he's insane.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He's crazy. Like, he's crazy, and thank God he's tall. That's what I would say. You know, because he just, to your point, like, he didn't want to just beat you. He wanted to destroy you. He wanted you to be and sometimes that's not a good thing. I get it. Like, I understand that, you know, we're in a different era maybe than we were 30 years ago. But 30 years ago, that's what you had to do to be a champion. You couldn't win an NBA championship being a nice guy. Like, you couldn't. Larry Bird wasn't a nice guy. Magic wasn't a nice guy. Isaiah wasn't a nice guy. You know, to beat those guys, you had to be ruthless, right? Like, that's an incredible gauntlet to run, to have to run to win an NBA title. Those are all-time all-timers. And Michael had to become that guy and became that guy to not only win, but then to dominate in a way that none of them dominated for that long, right? It was almost a decade of dominance. So That to me is why I just think Jordan's will was unlike any that I've ever seen.
The Basketball 100 again, David Aldridge, one of the co-authors. Everybody should check it out right now and get it, certainly for the basketball lover and fan in your life, in time for the holidays. And in just, you know, let's use the list a little bit to open up to the current day. Again, LeBron being number two on your list, and we just talked about how back in the day, Jordan, you know, you had to be a real SOB in that time, yeah, of the bad boy Pistons, and obviously the Ewing, Pat Riley coached Anthony Mason, mm-hmm, right? You know, yeah, sharp elbow Knicks, so on and so forth. And a little bit of that, if not a lot of that, is lost today in the current NBA. That said, LeBron saying he wants to play every game,
yeah,
to me, you know, is awesome. At his late age stage, for him to, mm-hmm, say, I do not want to be load managed. My intention is to play every game. Certainly when you're seeing, and again, we're in a fantasy league here, when there's 21-year-olds that suddenly are a game-time decision due to an illness, and there's 23-year-olds that are suddenly, you know, doubtful because of a sprained ankle that they're resting on a back-to-back suffered 5 games ago, you really do have to give it up to what LeBron is doing and how he is playing at this stage right now. How sustainable do you think these Lakers with J.J. Redick and him and Anthony Davis are, David?
I think there is it sustainable? I mean, maybe. You know, we've always, you know, worried about health, right? At the end of the regular season and into the playoffs with these guys. And that's been the problem the last couple of years for them, is that they haven't been healthy in May and June when they needed to be healthy, or healthy enough, let's put it that way. So that's always going to be an issue. But do they have enough around them? I mean, look, Kinect's really helping them. You know, I think Austin Reeves is still a really good player. I think Hachimura is still a really good player. I think they have enough, but it's all about their health. And I think JJ's playing through Davis makes a lot of sense. And getting LeBron to kind of see that and be okay with that is part of, you know, the same thing that Phil did with Michael back in the day, right? You know, understanding that you got to pass the ball. You got to trust your teammates. And that's a hard thing. I'm not saying LeBron didn't trust AD, but they played through LeBron until this year, right? And so now they play through AD, and that makes a lot more sense. And I think it keeps LeBron fresher, and maybe it preserves him longer into the season. So, but it none of it matters if AD's not available in May and June. And that's where, you know, I just don't know yet. And I don't think any of us will know until we get there if he can be at his best when his best is required.
Number 41 on your list. Let's talk about him. His name is Joel Embiid. And I guess, yep, my question for you is, what is up with him? How about that? You can go in any way you want with that very open-ended question. What is up with Joel Embiid, David?
I mean, it's a mess, Rich. It's a mess. You know, Joel has always been, you know, for all of his kind of playfulness, you know, he always was kind of sober about the game, right? He wanted to be great, and and I don't know where his headspace is right now. I was up there a couple weeks ago when he came back, and he just doesn't seem like the same guy. There's no joy. There was no joy in him when I saw him. And there's always been a little bit of joy in him. He's always been kind of, you know, friendly and not towards me. I don't mean towards me, but I just mean just generally. And I know he was just coming back from the injury, and he had the whole thing with the columnists, and the suspension that was bothering him too. But he's, for them to win, he's got to play with joy, and a sense of dominance. And I did not see that from him. That doesn't mean it won't be there in a month, but I didn't see it when I was there. And that would concern me if I'm the 76ers, because they can't win without him. They need him to be MVP level Joel Embiid, the guy that looks forward to going up against Jokic in the regular season and dominating, as he's done many times. So that is the guy they need to have any chance to get out of the East.
Well, what meat can you put on the bones of, like, what's in his headspace that he's joyless? I mean, Paul George is there. Maxey is obviously somebody that is dynamic as a young talent. You know, I mean, the general manager obviously loves him. I mean, is it the coach? Is it the situation? Like, what no, possibly be Joy less, David?
Yeah, I don't think it's Nick Nurse. I mean, I don't think it's Nick Nurse. Is he? Are there things that are there ways he wants to play that he's expressed to them? I'm sure that's true. Yes, but I don't think that's why he's not happy. I think it's a combination of the injuries, you know, continuing to keep him from playing at his best, but him trying to get out there and play and not being at his best and fans getting on him. And, you know, again, I think the thing with his brother and his son being mentioned in the column really, really, really bothered him. Okay. Like, I just think that really touched a nerve with him that I'm not sure is still healed, and that may take some time to heal. But I think overall it's more that his knee is not where he needs it to be. And he's dragging himself out there and he's not playing anywhere near his capabilities. So to me, I'm not privy to his x-rays, but it seems to me we're going down a path toward, look, to get this thing right, you may have to get this thing fixed. You know, if it's not responding, then maybe there's something more there that needs to be fixed. And so that may be a conversation 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. But, until I see Joel Embiid playing physically the way he's capable of, I would be concerned about his physical standing and what his knee is like, because he doesn't look like himself at all right now.
Last one for you. Normally, I would say a team that started 17-1 in their conference would be the biggest threat to the Celtics, but the one for the Cavaliers was a loss to the Celtics in a cup battle, or pardon me, an Emirates NBA Cup battle.
Oh, it's NBA Cup. I get very upset.
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll be very careful here. The biggest threat to the Celtics repeating is what or who?
Injuries. Because
that's it,
Rich. I just don't see it. I mean, tell me how you beat them four times. Who beats them four times in seven games? And now with Porzingis back, you tell me who's the team, because I don't see one. Because of their ability to play through so many different guys. The other night it was Jaylen Brown just against Minnesota. I'm just going to hit five threes now because I can do that, you know. And so every night it's a different guy. Now, look, it was the Wizards. I get it. The Wizards are a JV team. I get that. But Tatum was terrible against the Wizards. It didn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. They have so many more other guys. It doesn't matter. You know, so they just can beat you in so many different ways. Mazzulla seems to have a real good handle on how to kind of push his team's buttons during a regular season to kind of keep them on edge, which is what a team needs. After you've won a championship, the regular season is kind of boring and you don't really care about it. You want to just get to the playoffs, and he's kind of poking them a little bit and keeping them on edge. I just don't see it, man. I don't see the formula. I mean, right now, as there's some really good teams out West, don't get me wrong, but like, I'm again, beat that team four times in seven games. Good luck with that. And I don't think Cleveland is like out of that discussion just because they lost one game to Boston. Because I think they do have some things that are interesting. Playing through Mobley is interesting. Like, that gives them a different look. They are a little more harder. They're much harder to kind of defend and prepare for if Mobley's doing a lot of the initiating and a lot of the offense goes through him. But I still think Boston's the best team in the league, and there's a gap to me between them and everybody else right now.
Good luck with the book, David. Great to chat with you.
Well, thank you, Rich. Always good to see you, man.
Right back at you. Look for more of my calls and texts and all that good stuff, DA. Thanks again for the time. Appreciate it. The Basketball 100. Check it out. The story of the greatest players in NBA history, available today wherever you get your books. Love are you it. Clapping for him because it was a great segment, or he thinks your Celtics are unbeatable?
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above.
It's a great segment, and your Celtics look unbeatable. I can.
Okay. I'll have to argue with
him. I don't know. Let's get Karl Anthony Towns making some hoops instead of sending flowers and balloons to troll this man.
Right.
I don't know, OG Anunoby with a 40 with a 40 piece.
Cool.
Okay. I don't know. Get it going. Why is MB? Is MB just like my knees sucks and now life sucks? Is that what's going on? I mean, Shaq said he's got to have a different mindset, otherwise he's never going to win a championship.
I've never heard anyone say what David just said. Maybe this. I mean, guys, we got to be a little sensitive. There could be something a little deeper mentally going on. Maybe. Like,
yeah, maybe.
You know, because he is. He had the nickname Troll MB. He used to love going on social media and trolling, but maybe he's at a point now where. You know, it's not so sweet anymore, but or maybe it's something deeper than that.
Tatum made the list. Tatum's 91.
Ooh, interesting. Already.
You know who's 92?
Hmm.
My favorite player of all time.
Bernard King.
That's correct. It's not a bad guy to be thrown in there with. I know Bernard didn't have the championships, but he had some game, man.
Bernard was a bucket.
Fill it up.
I don't give a damn about the process.
That's 91, Jason Tatum.
What number is the good doctor?
Dr. Julius Erving.
I'm gonna guess like 15.
Exactly.
Oh,
15.
Really?
In between.
Ooh, Brockman. Nice.
In between number 14 Durant and number 16 Jerry West.
Okay, I'll accept that. I thought he was going to be like 22 or something. 15.
Jordan,
really?
LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell is 4, and Magic rounds out his top 5.
Okay.
Wilt, Shaquille O'Neal. 8, Tim Duncan. 9, Larry Legend. 10, Kobe Bryant rounds out the top 10.
It's pretty good. And top on
the first one, and the first one on the outside looking in at 11 is
Steph.
He's 12.
Where's Dream at?
11.
Okay.
There you go. Good stuff, guys. Let's take a break. Back to wrap up this Tuesday show in a sec. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it. Whether it's college football or professional football, there's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with No Contest Wrestling, with guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, the concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It's just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
When was the first time you met Jordan? When was the first time you met him, shook his hand, covered him, or something like that?
Yeah, the first time I met him was at that Midsummer Night's Dream game out there in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had, that was the time where guys would play in these All-Star games during the summer, and it was a real game. You know, it wasn't like they were out there like Globetrotters or something. They actually really were playing with egos involved. So that was the first time I had met him then, and we just sort of met after the game, talked and exchanged phone numbers, and sort of the rest in terms of how our relationship developed, it developed from that.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that anybody learned from this documentary is that anything that Jordan ever played in wasn't just a regular game, right? I mean, that was a real, that's one thing that I'm sure if anybody needed to be introduced to Jordan, and there's a whole generation that did, they just learned that. Did you learn anything from The Last Dance, Ahmad Rashad?
No, I didn't. I didn't, because I think, you know, just like you said when you introduced me, I had a catbird seat to all of it. And it was one of those different sort of, I've never sort of been in a situation where I had sort of free access to the locker room, you know, to the training room, to their buses, I was just there. So I got a chance to see a lot of those things. I was glad that people got a chance to see the human side of Michael, and you see how competitive he was and how demanding he was. And I think what I take from that is
If you think Larry Bird wasn't like that, and if you think Magic Johnson wasn't like that, then you're not really thinking the right way. So it wasn't just Michael that was just a, you know, win at all costs, put your foot on the guy's neck kind of thing. All these guys were able to do that, but Michael, what separated him was his athletic ability was way above anybody's at that point.
Remember, that was back in COVID when we were covering The Last Dance like it was a live event every single Monday. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, make sure you stop by a Sleep Number store near you. Certainly, if you are currently in the market for a new bed, definitely stop by a Sleep Number store. We love Sleep Number beds. You can assess your body's pressure points when you go to a Sleep Number store. Recommend a bed at every price point that's just right for you is exactly what the hardworking staff at a Sleep Number store will do the minute you walk in. So again, if you're in the market for a new bed, go stop by a Sleep Number store and tell them the Rich Eisen Show sent you. And use it exactly like that. Say it exactly like that.
Yeah, in that tone too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jim Brockman.
So listen, you know, I know my name's on the mug and the door and the show name, which is why I'm the one who sits here and I'm like, these are the seven teams and these are the three seats, and I'm whittling it down. Earlier in the program, mentioned the NFC teams that are going to make the playoffs in a rousing edition of, we're talking playoffs or what? And I said, the teams currently, where are they right now? The teams currently 9th and 10th in the standings will make the playoffs. Bucks and Rams will come from 5 and 6 and make it, even though I gave you the numbers that 76% of the teams that are in a playoff spot Thanksgiving week make the final seven this decade when they started expanding it to 7 playoff teams. And I said the Falcons will win the South. 2 South, 1 West. Do you agree? Do you agree? Yay or nay?
I think Seattle wins the West.
You think Seattle wins the West, not the Rams? And then?
I do think the Bucks make it.
The Bucks make it, which means they make it as the division winner or they make it as the wild card?
The wild card. I think Washington is out.
So you think Atlanta and the Bucks, but it's Seattle who wins it, not the Rams?
Yes.
All right. Even though the Rams have already won in Seattle, right?
Yes, I just like little bit more what I'm seeing out of Seattle right now.
All right. Okay, because the Rams have Seattle in their house week 17. That could be for all the marbles.
Seattle a little bit better on defense.
Do you agree, TJ Jeffers?
I picked the Rams, I think, when you asked this yesterday. I just feel the Rams can put up points, right?
That sounded very Walken-esque right there. Sounded like Christopher Walken right there. The Rams.
Don't get me started, because then you know I'll start doing it. I know. And I'll go on
you just
too
did
long.
It. You just did it anyway. You think the Rams make it? And so
the Rams.
Does another team from the West make it?
I don't know if I believe in the Cardinals, and I think part of this stems from my fantasy football picking of. I had two quarterbacks I wanted this year, either Kyler or Josh Allen. I took Kyler. Been kind of regretting it, so I don't know if I believe in the Cardinals.
Okay.
I feel like the Rams can put up 30.
So who makes it?
I'll go Rams.
Okay.
I'm not so sure about the Seahawks, and I feel like it's either going to be the Falcons or the Bucks. I'm going to go
not both.
Not both. I think I picked the Bucks.
So you're going to take the Commanders to stay put.
I think they're going through a little bump in the road right now.
Okay, very good.
But we were so high on them at the beginning of the season, right? So we saw that there's some promise there.
They're fun.
They got sunned by the big brother Cowboys. Like I said, it's just something we usually...
Bucks have that tiebreaker over them.
I think the time for dilly-dallying is over and an answer must be delivered.
Who are your three, who are your three, TJ? Yeah. Who are your three?
All right, TJ. Seattle, Arizona.
Nice.
And Tampa Bay.
Okay.
The Buccaneers.
Ladies and gentlemen, TJ Jefferson.
TJ Walken.
Puts his pant legs on one leg at a time, right?
One leg at a time.
Ma'am, your husband has the back of a coal miner.
We didn't need one more.
See, that is
didn't need one more.
Now it's too much.
We didn't need one more.
Now I got to turn my back on.
Don't get me started is all I'm saying. Just let me lie. That's how I lost.
We're going to have a great day today.
That's right. Tomorrow we do the playoffs or what for the AFC.
AFC.
Tomorrow, since it's our final day of the Thanksgiving week, it's a What's More Likely Wednesday. I will still deliver my power rankings.
What's more likely?
Oh, my God.
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Oh, my God. tomorrow's show.
I will say hello
Bruce
to
Feldman.
You.
Bruce.
Tom Pelissero.
Tommy P.
Will join us. And Garrett Wilson of the Jets.
Two little mice fell.
Oh, my God. Roll your break. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.